Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is up, world? It is Betting Above the Rim. I am Keith Irizarry on a Saturday morning. It is absolutely glorious. Hope you are all enjoying it so far. Memorial Day weekend, huh? Yeah. All right, so a lot to get into. Kofsky is back. Shames is gone again. Don't know where he is. Bocce is here. Jack is here. Intern JJ is in the house. Yes, let's go Hofstra. And Cody is on the boards. We are stacked and ready to go. All right, so speaking of stacked and ready to go, there's a lot of different ways that we can go with this. So actually, you know what? Scratch it all. Let's do the opening tip-off. Go, come on, roll it. Let's go. I want to take you back. Do you remember 2012? Do you remember Game 6? Do you remember LeBron James in 2012, Game 6, 45 points, facing elimination? Why am I discussing this? Because Jimmy Butler said, hey, LeBron, hold my beer, I am here. 47 points for Jimmy Butler in Game 6 to force a Game 7. Jimmy, can you hear Jimmy? I can hear Jimmy. You listening? No, I can hear Jimmy. Jimmy Butler's got knee inflammation. He's, you know, supposed to be banged up, not going to be 100%. This was done, right? Celtics, they're at home. TD Garden, house is rocking. No way there is a Game 7. Kyle Lowry, shell of himself. He goes for double digits. Bam Adebayo only scores 6 points. There's no way you can win with just 6 points from Bam. Aha, aha. And the Miami Heat pull off the win, and they will play a Game 7 with a chance to go to an NBA Finals for the second time in 3 seasons. Lost in all of it, by the way, is Jason Tatum was amazing once again. But it was the Jimmy Butler show. It was fantastic. It was glorious. It was real. And I think there's a discussion to be had about Jimmy Butler, because Butler is routinely thought of as maybe a problem. He's a problem on the court. He is just a flat-out stud leader and continues to lead his teams to wins. Speaking of leading your team to wins, what do we do with Steph Curry now? Because career is clearly not over. Still a chance to go to the NBA Finals, chance to win another title, right? Three-time NBA champion. We got the board here for all our TV audience. Back-to-back NBA MVPs, 8 times an NBA All-Star, 4 times All-NBA First Team, 3 times All-NBA Second Team. What do we do? And I don't know, am I wrong? Am I wrong to start talking about legacy for Steph Curry? I have routinely said that when you do a list of the most influential players in the history of the sports, I don't know if you start with Steph Curry, but if you're going to do Mount Rushmore of most influential people that have played in the NBA, I think Steph Curry's there. Think about this. Why is shooting cool? Don't tell me Ray Allen or Reggie Miller, as we welcome in our radio audience, Keith Irizarry, Betting Above the Rim, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159, talking a little about Steph Curry and kind of the legacy of him. And we're going to really, in the next segment, we're going to get into how we got to this point, how he's headed to the NBA Finals with his boys again, Klay and Draymond and Steve Kerr and that crew. Got a bunch of post-game sound from game five, in which they won. And we'll play it all for you, I promise. So stick with me. I mean, I'm just going off the rails a little bit, because when you really think about a person that has put his imprint on the sport and on a league, tell me someone that has meant more to the NBA than Steph Curry. Michael Jordan, right? You know? Who else? LeBron? I love LeBron. But none of us are ever going to be 6'8", 260 pounds, behemoth men that could jump over a backboard. I'm kidding. But you know what I mean. But I know that every AAU kid that my sons are playing with can go to the basketball court and can go to their yard and can practice their jump shot and think, maybe I could be Steph Curry. Now, listen, it's hard, and I don't think a lot of these kids can become Steph Curry, but they can dream it, right? But I can tell you that my 11-year-old and my 7-year-old sons are never going to be 6'8". So they're never going to be able to be LeBron James. Can they be an all-world shooter like Steph Curry? Maybe. Put in the work. You never know. Steph Curry made it cool to shoot threes. Steph Curry is on the precipice now of maybe winning his 4th NBA title. And I think there's a conversation to be had, and we could do this in a little bit later in the show. We got Coach Young coming up, Cody Decker, all-world athlete in his own right. I'm going to love to dive into his brain as well. All-world athlete, played minor leagues baseball, and is great at this gambling thing, right? And then Dave Sharapan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
For number two also. But I think there's a conversation to be had about where Steph Curry fits in the point guard pantheon and in the NBA pantheon. It's rather interesting, and I think it's more intriguing than you believe. When we get back, lots of sound from the Warriors moving on to the NBA title. I am Keith Irizarry, Betting Above the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here, Betting Above the Rim. Keith Irizarry with you. Kofsky is in tow, too. And Kofsky is behind the scenes right now, paying attention to a lot of things. He's frustrated, and I'll tell you a little bit later why he's frustrated. And let me just say, it happens to be because his shirt is not tight enough. Okay. He's frustrated right now. Yeah, he is. He's upset. Big bosses, you know what you did wrong. You guys know what you did wrong. All right, let's get into some sound. Let's get into some video here. Steph Curry has routinely been asked about the last year he had a message about the next year thing going on. And a lot of people were questioning him about that, thinking that maybe this is an organization that needs to start moving in a different direction, not away from Steph necessarily, but like a youth movement, right? Maybe this trio, this group wasn't going to be able to reach the top of the mountain again. Hey, Steph, what did you mean by all that?
It was more just a message for us. It wasn't for anybody else. It was a message for us to stay locked on the opportunity that was coming our way because we had built such good momentum finishing the year and reestablished like what Warrior basketball was. And if we could, you know, get things aligned, get some, you know, some new pieces and figure out how to start off the year right. That's exactly what we did. We were 18-2 at one point and still had Clay coming. You know, when he was ready, and obviously this year didn't go as planned, but I think the tone was set from those last 20 games last year that carried over and gave us so much confidence that we could be that team again.
NBC Warriors with the video there. That's where we got that from. And Steph Curry, I think he laid it out perfectly. When they jumped out to 18 wins out of the first 20 games of the season, I think there were two factions in this world, right? There was the one faction that goes, okay, they're for real, and Clay is going to be coming back. By the way, that was me. I was on these airwaves saying that. Then there was another faction that was saying, the other shoe will fall. They're old. The young players aren't that good. That faction was wrong. They were the wrong crew. I'm not going to call you out by name, but you know who you are. This team was built for playoff success. It was. And the big question mark was always going to be, what Clay were you going to get? Were you getting hobbled, one-legged Clay? Or are you getting even 90% of all-star Clay? And that's what they're getting, right? I don't see how a team beats this Warriors team four times in a seven-game series. And I said this 3 or 4 weeks ago on these airwaves. I just don't see it. It's going to take an injury. It's going to take something crazy to happen for another team to beat them. I don't know how either of the teams from the Eastern Conference would be able to handle this Warriors team, but I digress. Hey, head coach Steve Kerr, how do you feel about your dynamic trio?
I think they're a really unique trio just in terms of how they complement one another in every way. They're such different players. You know, Draymond is kind of our point forward. He's the best defender in the league. He's our emotional leader. You know, Steph and Clay had already established themselves as, you know, this amazing shooting backcourt. But they needed each other from the beginning. You know, Clay handling some of the tougher defensive assignments to allow Steph to be able to focus more on the offensive end. And then the three of them together, the way they move the ball and they pass and cut, it's beautiful to watch.
It really is. I will get on record and say that I was not a Warriors guy, you know, 6, 7 years ago, right? And they've now been to the NBA Finals. It's going to be 6 out of 8 years. I'm a LeBron guy. You know that. You watch the shows. You know that. And I always wanted to see LeBron beat the Warriors. And I know they did in 2016 with the Cavaliers, right? I like dynasties. I like being able to be alive for history. And I know that we're not supposed to necessarily root per se. I'm now rooting for these Warriors. I am. I want to see the history of Steph Curry. I want to see the four titles for this trio right here. And for all that Draymond Green is, and you could ask my father on this one, I was not a Draymond guy. I sometimes found his, and I thought it was an act. I found his act frustrating at times. It's not an act. He is who he is, and he's a really darn good player. And at some point down the road, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And I don't think a lot of people thought that of him when he was coming into the NBA as a second-round selection. But Draymond Green is is the cog in the wheel that makes this motor, this car go. I mixed a lot of metaphors there. Just threw them all in there, right? Apples and trees and leaves and stuff. Go ahead. You guys can all laugh. Yeah, you know, that was funny. All right, Klay Thompson. It has been a long road back for him. It has been 2 years of grueling, sometimes agonizing rehab. I'm sure there were sleepless nights staring at the ceiling, staring up, wondering if he was ever going to be him again. Klay, talk to me.
Pure elation, just a lot of gratitude, humility, just it's just, I don't know, it's hard, any word for happy, any synonym for happy, because it's just so hard to get here. I mean, there's been so many great players, some of the best to ever play that haven't even played in the finals. That's how competitive the NBA is, best league in the world. And now that we're back, it's just, it's incredible, and I'm very happy for Dub Nation, because they've sent me so many nice messages over the last couple of years, and they're so encouraging.
NBCSN Bay Area. Again, I'm not a pro athlete, wasn't a pro athlete. I've been through my own injuries and I've seen like the dark side of an injury, right? Where the doubts that you have and are you going to be able to do insert thing again? Couldn't even imagine being a guy like Klay Thompson who, you know, was routinely on all NBA teams and routinely considered the second greatest shooter of this generation, maybe the second or third or fourth or fifth best shooter of all time in Klay Thompson. Great defender, awesome teammate. I'm sure there were times where he doubted himself and wondered, am I going to be able to get back to that guy? Was I going to be Game 6 Klay again? Can I be clinching Klay again? Yeah, he is, and he's a major reason why the Warriors will be playing in the NBA Finals again on Thursday night. Draymond Green, another major, major factor in why the Warriors have advanced. Talk to me, Dre.
Like I said over and over again, and I'm going to keep saying it, no one has proven that they can move us off that spot. And that's the mindset that we come into this thing with. We understand what it takes to win a championship. We understand the process and how you have to get better throughout the course of the season. You know, it's not just about winning games throughout the regular season. You know, that's anybody can just win games throughout the regular season. Teams make mistakes. Most teams in the NBA just aren't that good. You know, so you can win games in the regular season, but that means nothing. You know, and we understand that. And so we don't chase wins during the regular season. We chase improvement during the regular season. And I think we've done that. And, you know, when you do that and you're constantly improving throughout the year, you give yourself an opportunity to be in the position that we're in now. And, you know, that is the key to having success in the postseason. It's just improving each and every day throughout the year.
Not fair to say a specific name, but I will. Tom Brady-led teams feel like the Warriors, right? They're chasing improvement each week. I don't think that Tom Brady, maybe save for the undefeated season that they lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants, I don't think Tom Brady teams were thinking, let's go undefeated. They were always thinking, and he was thinking, how can I be ready for the postseason, and how can I be ready to be successful in the postseason? I think the Tampa Bay Lightning seem like that a lot as well, right? Winning two straight cups, right? And the way they've kind of moved their way through the regular season. I don't know if we have a baseball team that would be a good analogy there. Dodgers kinda, but they fell short. So I don't know if they work. Anyway. All right, when we get back, I want to dive into the brain of Coach James Young. I know that's scary, guys. I know. It's not a horror film. I promise it's going to be fun. Coach joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Going on, Betting Above the Rim is back with you. Keith Irizarry. I'll bring in Coach Young now as well. And Coach, a happy day to you. Happy morning to you. Good morning. All right, so I want to take us back. I opened the show this way, Coach. 2012, Game 6, Eastern Conference Finals. It was LeBron, 45 points, staves off elimination, goes on and wins game seven. We had Jimmy Butler last night go for 47 points. How would you compare those two outings between those two superstars?
I would argue that Jimmy Butler's was better. I mean, because of the fact that how bad they had looked the previous two games. And listen, if you saw the video of the Miami Heat getting off the bus, like when they got to Boston 3 days ago, they looked like the walking wounded. Like you saw guys, I'm like, no, there ain't no way this team is winning. So shout out to the massage therapist, the athletic trainers, everybody involved with the Miami Heat, because y'all must have put some special juice or something in their drink, because Jimmy Butler looked completely different last night, attacking, just relentless. And you got to think about this. Jimmy Butler's never been the best player on the floor, Keith. We both can agree on that. But yeah, you got to say, pound for pound, toughest. I don't think there's a tougher guy in the NBA right now than Jimmy Butler.
Well, I love the talking heads, and I know this is kind of what we're doing right now, but, you know, I watch other shows, and they were talking about on a specific show yesterday whether or not you could win a title with Jimmy Butler being your lead player. I find that question to be unfair, because we've seen in the NBA teams win title. And again, I know it's a star-driven league, but we've seen teams win without a super uber star. And I think you could still make the case that Jimmy Butler is a top 20 player in the NBA during the regular season. And in the postseason, I don't know, right now he looks like a top 3 or 4 player.
Listen, I think it was funny. I was talking to my students about this one day, and we actually went out and we reached out to a couple of people, even on sports screen. We came up with a top 10. Jimmy Butler is squarely in my top 10 in the NBA because of the fact that, Keith, he's tough as nails. He plays through injuries. He plays offense and defense. The reason why Jimmy Butler doesn't get the notoriety of some of the other contemporaries is he's not a flashy shooter. He doesn't have the crazy handle. He doesn't have the crazy bounce. So he's not like that box office appeal kind of guy. But Jimmy gets it done. And I think here's the thing we have to talk about, and it's good that we kind of segue into this a little bit. I think the NBA is evolving now, Keith. I think this whole thing of getting these top 3, 4, you know, 6 players, get 2 of them together, line them up, and go get a ring, I think those days are starting to go, because you saw the failed experiment with the Nets. You see what has happened with Philadelphia. You see what happened with the Lakers with the injuries. It's about getting a top player and the surrounding pieces to make sure that they're good enough. So if they don't win the title this year, you're not going to claim it on Jimmy Butler. You're going to say that he needs a better supporting cast, kind of like they said with Patrick Ewing with the Knicks, need a better guys around him to lead them to a championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on, by the way. And you look at this, the teams over the last couple of years that have gotten either to the conference finals or to the finals, right? Last year, you had the Atlanta Hawks making an improbable run to the Eastern Conference Finals, who's their star, Trae Young, and a lot of good pieces around him. Last year, you had Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA title. Giannis is super uber star. Chris Middleton is an all-star. Drew Holiday is really, really good, and a bunch of pieces. The Suns get to the championship last year. Same thing. Paul, I mean, kind of closer to the end than the beginning of his career, but still really good, and Booker's a superstar, and the rest. The only one that would be the outlier is the Warriors coach, but they built that team, right? Like, that's the cool thing about the Warriors that kind of goes forgotten. They drafted Steph. They drafted Klay. They drafted Draymond. You know, they got all these guys. Like, I think it's pretty cool what the Warriors have put together.
And I completely agree with you. You listening to me? Dallas Mavericks? Like, yes. You listen to me? Some of these teams? Listen, here's how you do it right in the NBA, okay? You draft well. You supplement it with shrewd free agent signings. And when you got to go get that last piece, that last star, and you don't have to give up the farm to do it, you go get it. Drew Holiday to Milwaukee. Chris Paul to Phoenix. That's what you need to do. I just don't believe it in this building these super teams. I don't think the NBA is structured in a way that it can happen, because you got to gut the future. Think about what Philadelphia did. Philadelphia went all in, folks. And if James Harden doesn't turn it around in the next year, their window is shut. Brooklyn, you could argue, Keith, that their window may be shut already because of the fact. So, you know, these teams that you got to look into the future, Keith, you know, Dallas, Minnesota, Memphis. Atlanta. I'll throw even Charlotte in there because they have young pieces. You're surrounded with some core veterans, some tough guys that can teach you how the way the NBA goes and works. And then when you have to make that one last move to get the star, you do it. It's almost like you build the team first. The last star comes last rather than doing it in reverse, meaning you get the superstars first and then try to piece it together.
What do you do if you're Dallas, though? And I know this actually wasn't my plan to even discuss this with you, but you kind of brought it out of me. So you got Luka, Jalen Brunson, you got to make a decision there. And then it's a bunch of pieces. I don't know if the collective pieces work to get a title for Luka and for Dallas. What do you think? What do you do there?
There's two things they need. They need a playmaking, shot-creating guard on the wing. And they need a rim protection, lob threat, O-boarding big. And the way I would do it is this. I don't know if you can pull the two of these off because of what's going on and what you have for traffic, so on and so forth. The guy that I would like for them to look at as a guard is Zach LaVine. I think Zach LaVine is a dynamic scorer on the wing. There's rumors it's problems in Chicago. He may want to go out. He'll be a good partner with Luka Doncic, can take the pressure off him a little bit as a shot creator, and you can't just load up on Luka when he has the ball. As a big, I'm going to stay in my hometown team. How about Mitchell Robinson for a team like Dallas? Shot blocker, runs the floor, can switch out on ball screens, and really, I think he led the NBA 1 year, I think it was last year, and 3-point attempts blocked because of the way he can close out. Lob threat, O-boarder. Mitchell Robinson over Dwight Powell is like a Ferrari to a Ford. I mean, Dwight Powell gets $11 million to get you 3 points and two rebounds. So I think you get that, and you put a guy like, you know, Zach LaVine on the wing with a guy like Finney Smith or Bullock, and some other pieces, and I think you could have something in Dallas with those two moves.
He is Coach Young, joining me, Keith Irizarry, betting above the rim. All right, so I opened the show also talking about Steph Curry and his place in history. And tell me if I'm off base on this one. Actually, answer this first, and then we'll go further. I believe that Steph Curry is one of the most influential players that has ever played in the NBA. If we were coming up with a Mount Rushmore, he would be on my top four, my Mount Rushmore list of most influential NBA players because he has made shooting cool. Agree or disagree?
Not only made shooting cool, he made it the fact that you don't have to be 6'7" and jump for the free throw line and dunk on someone's head. He's made it cool. I mean, listen, he brought the light-skinned brothers back. Like him and Drake, them two, they brought the light-skinned brothers back. The two of them have done it on their own. You know, shout out to the light-skinned brothers. I'm more the dark-skinned, so, but I digress. We still brothers. I still with them. Shout out to Steph. But real talk, he really is Keith because he has made it shooting important. He's made, you don't have to be athletic. You don't have to be the quickest. You don't have to be the tallest, most athletic. You have to be fundamentally sound, and you got to be a shot creator and a shot devastator. I think the thing that has to happen, though, is the kids need to start watching Steph, how he does everything, and not the fact that Steph Curry can make it from the logo, because now you got kids all over the place thinking they're shooting 40-footers. Yeah, pump your brakes, kids. Watch Steph, but he has made being shooting and being small really cool in the NBA.
If I give you this list of players, not including the 60s Celtics groups, okay? Kareem, 6. I know you knew what I'm doing here. MJ, 6. Magic, 5. Duncan, 5. LeBron, 4. Shaq, 4. Bird, 3, okay? Those are NBA titles won by superstars post that Celtics generation. They're superstars. I know Robert Horry's got 7. Like, I know Pippen's got 6. I'm not including them in this list. If Steph gets his 4th this year, what does that do for him in that list?
It puts him right up there. But I'm going to say this, and I want people to be careful about this, because I've argued with people about this all week. Don't compare Steph to Magic Johnson. Like, I want to stop that right now. Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard in the history of this league. okay? Steph Curry is a scoring guard. There's a difference. There's a huge difference. He's almost keeping his own category because of the way he scores in the point guard position. Magic was a 19-11 player his entire career. But that puts him up there. But I will say this, and I'm going to give you one more. Don't put him on LeBron's level either, okay? Because they're different players. LeBron, to me, is the second best player in the history of the NBA, chasing Michael Jordan. I don't think he gets there. But Steph, you have to applaud him and applaud his career because he's done it completely different than all those other guys, being by far the shortest in the group.
The Magic Johnson thing fascinates me because it all depends on your definition of that position. I want to talk about this a little bit more when we get back. We're also going to talk about the NBA draft. It's on our horizon. All right, we roll on. It's Betting Above the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here, Betting Above the Rim. All right, Coach Young is still in the house. Coach, when we went to the break, we started talking about the point guard position. Now, my good friend, Rashad Phillips, actually has a book coming out about the evolution of positions. Positionless Basketball, I believe, is the name of the book. I already put my order in on Amazon for that one. With that being said, I don't know how easy it is to define that position because the sport that you and I grew up watching was Magic Johnson, John Stockton, Isaiah Thomas type of point guards where they could score when they needed to score, but it wasn't the reason they were a great point guard. It was because they were tough-nosed defense and because they got everyone else involved. This generation, the point guard is different. So how do we quantify that if we want to compare Magic and Steph?
I think what you have to do is you have to start looking at their performances if they had to do more in the case of Magic Johnson. In the case of Magic Johnson, folks, go to his rookie year. 1980 finals versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Kareem gets hurt. Game 6, 42-15, plays all five positions. To me, that's his first year in the league. First year in the league. Got to also remember the fact, folks, that Magic Johnson, if he doesn't contract HIV in 91, he probably plays three, four years. And let's see what he would have been then. So what you got to look at the totality and also how the game was being played, you have to put it all together. So if we were to go into our top list, and let's say we put everybody together, Keith, let's just do it. We'll put all the point guards together. I think Magic is number one. Two, I think you have to go Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson, the inventor of the triple-double, dynamic, great player with the Cincinnati Royals, also went to the Milwaukee Bucks, won a championship with a guy named Lou Alcindor. Y'all know him as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's number two. Three is where I put Steph. And I had to move Steph because I've seen him. His comeback this year has elevated him to me over number four. And number four is Isaiah Thomas. I mean, Isaiah Thomas was, if you talk about making the small guard cool, Isaiah Thomas made the small guard cool in the 80s with his style of play. Five, you could probably go to John Stockton. Obviously, Stockton and Malone, obviously they're playing Utah. It's been legendary. And then after that, that's where you can kind of get into the, you know, Steve Nash's, Chris Paul. Actually, Chris Paul should be five. I'm sorry. Chris Paul over Stockton. But then you get into, you know, the Mark Jacksons, the Walt Frazier's, the Jason Kidds, you know, stuff like that. But I do think that, to me, Steph should be cemented in that top three for point guards in the history of the NBA.
It's sitting here on the day that we are, on Memorial Day weekend, I would say that I would have Magic one. I think I would put Steph two, and he would cement it if he wins his fourth NBA crown. Like, I think it's clear he would be number two at that point, especially if he's the leader of the bunch. I think we could also have a great conversation about an all-time top 10 now, because I think Steph Curry is at least knocking on that door. I don't think he's in the top 10 all-time yet. I think he's knocking on that door. Hey, we got a lot to do, and I only got you for another, 18 minutes? Yeah. Do I do math right there? I don't know. 16 minutes? 16 minutes. Darvin Ham, I'm getting told it's 10 minutes. I'm way off. Schlappy, Swanson, Samsonite. I was way off. Darvin Ham is the new head coach, or going to be the new head coach of the LA Lakers. 8 seasons in the league, won an NBA title when he was playing with the Pistons, mostly a role player through his career, and has really paid his dues as an assistant coach going back all the way to 2011. What are the Lakers getting with Darvin Ham?
Getting a tough-nosed guy. They're getting a guy that takes no nonsense. You know, Giannis shouted him out. And listen, he has worked for some great guys. You know, he was on the 2012-2013 Lakers. He's been with Budenholzer, which, listen, for what is worth, I know people knock him. Budenholzer is still a really good coach, and he's done a really good job in both Atlanta and Milwaukee. But he's paid his dues. No offense to Steve Kerr, because he's been fantastic. This isn't Steve Nash. You know what I'm saying? This isn't Mark Jackson. This is someone who has come up the ranks, who has been on multiple staffs. And I like coaches that have been on multiple staffs, Keith, because they learn different things from different people. And you kind of get your own philosophy as a coach on what you would do. I think he's a good hire. I thought he was the best hire of the group because I think it's a combination of can develop the guys and create a character. But I still think it kind of keeps LeBron happy. I would have been concerned about a retread like a Terry Stotts or a retread like a Doc Rivers. Those concern me. And a guy like Kenny Atkinson, I've said it for a while, he belongs in Charlotte. Hello, Michael Jordan. Pick up the phone and give it to Kenny. He's your coach. I think a guy like Kenny Atkinson would have been like, you know what? Let's blow the whole thing up and start over.
Would you have had any pause if you were Darvin Ham taking this job? And I know it sounds really weird because LeBron James is the greatest player of this generation, and you and I both agree second best player that has ever played the game. But you have this Russell Westbrook situation. You have Anthony Davis continued to be hobbled. You have really no salary cap, like relief at all. Any hesitation?
Well, here's what you're banking on. You're banking on LeBron being happy. You get Anthony Davis to finally have a full healthy season. And you're hoping that LeBron and AD can attract other guys on low-level contracts to come and play with them. Now, the key thing is, what do you do with a guy like Malik Monk, who I thought was fantastic? Does Kendrick Nunn come back? Does Reeves take the next step, you know, after a good year? What do you do with a guy like Stanley Johnson, who was a revelation project that they picked up during the season? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, Keith, let's put it this way, brother. There's 30 jobs. You can't be going and being you go get your job and you go from there.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I don't think you just don't turn it around. Also, I would argue that whomever was going to be this next Lakers coach might have a little bit of a longer leash because, you know, you have LeBron at the end of his career probably, right? And who knows, LeBron could be gone in 2 years and maybe wants to go play with Bronny somewhere if Bronny gets in the NBA. And then you've got this Westbrook situation. So maybe you have a little bit more of a leash. All right, so our producers here, Bocci, Kofsky, did a great job kind of, you know, spearheading this. They want us to dive into the NBA draft. And you've got the combines and you've got a lot of names being, you know, spewed around. Bocci, tell me in my ear really fast. Are we doing full 5 lists? Or are we separating them? Tell me my ear really fast. I forgot what you said. All right. So do you want me to go first or Coach Young go first? All right. So Bocci's really giving it up to me. I like it. Coach, you go first. Give me your top 5 NBA draft. And here's the caveat here, okay? We're not doing what's going to happen. This is what you think should happen and would be the best for the teams involved. Ready, set, go.
All right, so I'm going to go from 5 to 1. Number 5, Shaedon Sharpe, a.k.a. Shay Shay. If y'all haven't seen this dude play, he didn't play at Kentucky, go look at his highlights. This dude is a human pogo stick. Ridiculous 49-inch vertical leap, shot maker, shot creator. He is in at number 5, the Canadian. Number 4, Paolo Banchero. This is where it gets interesting, folks, because I'm not going contrarian. I'm not going what people are saying. I like Paolo Banchero. To the Kings, maybe could find a way to play him and Smalls together in that 4-5 combination inside-outside game. Number 3, Chet Holmgren. I think Chet's going to be a phenomenal player. He gets to play with a couple of dynamic guards and Green and Kevin Porter Jr. So it could be something that I think could benefit him. Number 2 is Jabari Smith. Dynamic, 6'10", can shoot the ball really, really well. And folks, I know, I'm nuts. Number 1 is Jaden Ivey. Let me explain to you why really quick. This guy's a three-level scorer. And listen, I don't want, you got to remember one thing. Matt Painter coached him in college, okay? And he had Travion Williams and Zach Edey in the low post. You put him in the right system with a stretch five that can come outside like a Mo Bamba, they keep him. And I really feel like, Keith, in this game, it is about shot creators at multiple levels. To me, you could find a situation where him and Jalen Suggs can play in the backcourt together. You could bring Cole Anthony off the bench, and you got Wagner. That is a young team. I think Jaden Ivey is a better jump shooting version, ready for this, of Ja Morant. I think Jaden Ivey is going to be a high-level, multi-all-star, multi-
Sports Press Rick Harlan for the $1.3 trillion.
I like your list a lot, and I really like the breakdown of your list. Let me give you mine, and then we'll discuss a little bit as well. So Jaden Ivey would be pick number five for me with the Detroit Pistons, okay? I think Ivey is Morant meets Dwayne Wade meets Marcus Smart. Somewhere in that conglomerate of a trio is what Jaden Ivey is. Super athletic, can get to the rim, above the rim, and scores in so many different ways. I think he fits perfectly there. At number four, I would have the Kings taking Keegan Murray. Now, honestly, I think Ivey is better, right? But I just don't see the Kings continuously taking these scoring guards. I just don't know how it fits there. Keegan Murray, a forward, coming off the sophomore year, 6'8". He is a walking bucket. He gets in the gym, and he's already scored 10 points. Like, that is what Keegan Murray is. He's a bucket. We love bucket getters. At number three, I got Paolo Banchero. Got him going to the Rockets. Big, athletic. I think those two things can really work to his advantage. He has so many physical tools, but I think he's a keen, smart player as well. If you watch the tape on Banchero, could he be more athletic than you? Yes, but he doesn't rely on that to beat you, which I really like. I enjoy it. Number two, it's Jabari Smith. And you may say I'm crazy because maybe he should be number one, and maybe he should, and I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's going to be great. 6'10", 220 pounds, can step outside. You watch his form on the outside shot, which is what I pay attention to a lot. I want to see the form. It's a pretty looking outside shot, and he can do everything inside. But number one is Chet. And it has to be Chet. And the reason it has to be Chet is because Chet Holmgren has the chance. And I know we throw around this word unicorn all the time, so I'm not going to say unicorn, but he has the chance to be a mixture of Kevin Durant. He has a chance to be a mixture of some Kristaps Porzingis. And he plays defense, right? Dude is 7 foot. He can dribble. He can pass. He can shoot. He can do everything. So Chet Holmgren would be number one for me. I think he'd fit perfectly with the Orlando Magic. I'll let you go. What do you think of my list, Coach?
No, I do like it. And right now, Chet, to me, I would take Chet over Jabari one because I do think there's some things that may match him up better, playing him with Wagner in the front court as opposed to Jabari Smith, who I think is just another version of Wagner. So that, to me, makes sense. I'm going to say something here. If Jaden Ivey goes to four and Shaedon Sharpe is there at five, I'm calling it right now, and it's already been reported. The New York Knicks are going to make a move. They're going to try to get into the top five or top four because the guy they want is Jaden Ivey. They want him bad. They wanted John to draft. They didn't get him. That is the guy that I think they're going to try and get. Let's see what happens. And if it's four with Sacramento, you never know. Sacramento does dumb stuff every year. You know what's going to happen. They're going to do something stupid, and on the draft show, they're going to get trashed by it. So look for them to do something stupid. They'll probably take, like, you know, Benedict Mathurin or something with the number four pick, and Benedict can play. But let's see what happens. But I do think it's dynamic, and I will say this really quick. You think the NFL draft was crazy? Wait till the NBA draft. I think it's going to be a ton of trades and a ton of movement.
Buckle up. Knicks fans would love to see Ivy and Barrett together. That would be awesome. Speaking of awesome, you're awesome, Coach. We'll talk again soon. There he is, Coach Young. Later. We're back with more Betting Above the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here, betting above the rim, everyone's favorite. It's the fastest 2 minutes of sports talk radio and sports talk television. It's Up Against the Clock. Roll it. And away we go. Feel free. Start the clock and roll in question number one. Let's see how many we can get. Kofsky put these up. So I think there's going to be a lot of them. We need a question, guys. Come on. I need a question. I see a clock rolling. I got no questions. All right, here we go. Come on, I need a question. Oh, man, this is hey, so live television is fun, and I'm just going to talk here because we don't have any questions yet. Do we have anything? Come on, guys. So Joel Embiid, will he ever win an MVP award? I don't think so. I think he's destined to be a bridesmaid and not the bride. As simple as that. I don't want to be a jerk here, but I just feel like he's going to be one of those guys that always falls just a little bit short. Question number two. See what we got. Who is more likely not to be a Brooklyn Net next season? Irving or Durant? I guess it's Kyrie, but my answer is they're both going to be back. I really do. I think they're both going to be back. Number three, roll it on in. Which team is the best fit for Zach LaVine? I know Coach said it earlier. I agree. I think it's the Mavericks. If they can figure out how to get him to be alongside Doncic, I think the dark horse here, the Portland Trailblazers look like they might have some money to spend there. I think he would work with Lillard. Question number four. Bring it on in. Should the Lakers trade Anthony Davis? Should. Should is the operative word. Maybe. Will. No. No. You're not getting any value right now on him. Keep him. Run it back. Question five. See what you got. Who is the most underrated player in the NBA? Ooh, I like this question. It's Jimmy, right? It's got to be Jimmy Butler. He's been an all-star, what, six times already? And he's about to lead his team maybe to a second NBA title series. Yeah, I'll go with him. We got another one? Come on, roll it in. Which team is more likely to win an NBA championship in the next 3 years, Suns or Mavericks? Dallas Mavericks will win a championship before the Phoenix Suns. You believe me? I believe it. I'm in. I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to make some sort of move in this off